Hare Krishna. So this year is the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. There's many events happening all over the world to celebrate this particular event, a 50th anniversary, and many devotees are also making different offerings as a gift to Srila Prabhupada, a gift in appreciation for what Prabhupada has given us. Yeah, if everyone comes forward, then those who are coming in can sit down. Srila Prabhupada ki. My own personal offering is three or four slideshows, and one of them I'm going to show this evening. The slideshow is called Atma in Transit, and it's giving a picture of our material existence from the time we left Krishna in the spiritual world to the time we eventually return. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving Can everyone settle down? Please. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a class. I think it was actually a Pandal program, so there was many hundreds of persons attending this Pandal program. And at the end of the talk, someone, an Indian gentleman, stood up and he asked, "What about overpopulation?" And Prabhupada's reply was very interesting. Because usually when he was asked that question, "What about overpopulation?" he would say, "Well, I'm traveling all over the world, and from my window, plain window, I see so much land vacant. So there's not a question of overpopulation. If everyone left the cities and took up simple life in the country, there would be plenty of room for everyone." So that's what he would usually say. But on this particular occasion, he said something very interesting. He said, "Yes, there is overpopulation, because no one is going back home, back to Godhead." He said, "There's no upward mobility. The system is jammed up. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness is giving facilities by which individuals can engage in devotional service, perfect their life, and go back home, back to Krishna." So Prabhupada has given everything for us to be able to achieve that. It is within our grasp. That is for sure. And then the rest is up to us. To what degree we actually want to go back home, back to Godhead. But he has given so much reassurance that it is possible in this very lifetime. The question is, where do we place our heart? There was one monkey, he was jumping from tree to tree, like monkeys do. And one crocodile came from upstream, he came downstream. He saw the monkey and he stopped. And he said, "Hey, monkey, do you want to come for a ride on my back?" And the monkey was thinking, a ride on a crocodile's back. Well, I've never done that before. Okay, I'm coming. So he jumped down and jumped on the crocodile's back. The crocodile turned around and went back upstream. And after some time, the monkey inquired from the crocodile, "By the way, Mr. Crocodile, where are we going?" And the crocodile replied, "I'm taking you to my wife so that she can eat your heart." And the monkey said, "But I left my heart back in the tree. Can we go and get it?" So the crocodile turned around, went back to the tree. The monkey jumped back up onto the branch, and he looked down to the crocodile and said, "Bye-bye, crocodile." So what does this story mean? It means that this particular monkey, although monkeys are not usually very intelligent, this one was very intelligent. He had left his heart in the right place so no one would steal it. Nowadays, it is so easy to sell your heart to the crocodile of Maya, where she devours us. Krishna consciousness is giving that facility by which we can place our heart in a very safe place within Krishna consciousness. The gatherings we have in our centers, there are opportunities where we can bring our heart and mind at rest from a week's work or activity, and absorb the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness so that we can then go out, being recharged, we can go back out to the world and remain a devotee within the materialistic society. This was Jesus Christ's proposal. Live in the world, but don't live off it. Don't try to enjoy it. So we are living examples of persons who are achieving this very thing. It's not that we've given up so much. They dance, we dance. They sing, we sing. They do drama, we do drama. They eat, we eat. They drink, we drink. They smoke, we smoke. Incense. Just that we do everything for Krishna, that's all. I found this in one shop. Can you see it? Does anyone know what it symbolizes? Not quite. hear no evil, speak no evil, and see no evil. I think it was Mahatma Gandhi's symbol, how he used to coordinate all his followers to try to get them to live a more simple life. So it is a very appropriate in our Krishna consciousness that we use our senses, but we use them in the service of Krishna. I remember before I was a devotee, there was one television program. It was called Candid Camera. I don't know if it's still going. But it was very interesting how in one of their skits they had arranged a sweet shop. But the arrangement was so special that even if you were in a hurry to go somewhere, you had to stop and look into this window and see the sweets, all the arrangements of the sweets. So in between the sweets they had placed the camera, and the camera zoomed up to the mouth of the person who was looking in the window. And as the person was meditating, contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops an attachment. So he was looking and getting attached to all the different sweets. And then literally you could see the tongue starting to move within the mouth, wanting to stick out 10 feet and drag the person into that shop. It was very revealing, and this was even before I was a devotee. I didn't even know about these things. But I always remembered this particular shooting of a sweet shop and persons inside. It is said in our way of life that the tongue is the most difficult to control. We use the tongue for eating. We use the tongue for talking. But the tongue must be used for talking about Krishna, Krishna Katha, and the eating must only be Krishna Prasadam. I also found this in one shop. There's a frog. Prabhupada gives a nice, the Bhagavatam gives a nice example of the frog croaking. The frog, he's croaking, and he's thinking his croaking is so wonderful that he will croak all night. Croak, 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 croak. The snake is coming closer to the croaking of the frog. He is saying, "Yes, Mr. Frog, continue croaking because I'm coming to devour you." It is an analogy. And the analogy is that the frog croaking represents materialistic people who just want to use their tongue for useless nonsense talk, village talk, prajalpa. Almost as if they've got to talk, and if they don't talk, there's something wrong. And Prabhupada's given us the holy name so we can chant instead of talking bhajalpa. We can perfect the tongue simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We can perfect the tongue by simply taking prasadam. Sometimes in London there is one center, Soho Street, and one ashram outside. It takes about 10 minutes to walk to the ashram. So you may take rest at 8 o'clock. You leave the temple to go and take rest. And you pass so many restaurants. And in those restaurants, people are talking. Talking more. They also want to drink so then they can talk all night. Drinking, talking, 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 more, talking, more, talking. And then when I come from Mangalarti, you pass the same restaurants and the same people are still in those restaurants talking. And you wonder, what do they have to talk about? Well, the answer to that is they don't even know what they're talking about. They're just talking. Wasting their time, wasting their life. So time factor is like the snake. The snake will come in the form of time and devour us. And we have wasted our human form of life. So we're very fortunate that we were able to engage this tongue. It's so ferocious, but we're able to control it by those two activities, taking only Krishna prasadam and speaking on the topics of Lord Krishna and his pastimes and his holy name. I can't speak for very long because there's a specific schedule that... What's the time?
4:04.
Okay, well then I better start the slideshow. So the slideshow, it's giving this clear indication of what not to do with the senses and what we should do with them in order to go back home, back to Godhead. The three modes are entangling us. The three modes are also very interesting. They represent three colors: goodness, passion, and ignorance. The goodness represents the color yellow or orange. Passion, red, and ignorance, blue. And if you mix each one of these colors with the other colors, you'll get 9 varieties. And then if you mix one of those colors with the other 8 colors, you'll get 81 different varieties. Sometimes we wonder why in London or why in these big cities there's so many restaurants. Because there are that many people that are different in their way of eating. This is the three modes of material nature. We have one restaurant. It is called Govinda's Restaurant. We have one here. And we're trying to propagate a way of eating in a Vedic style. That it is not just vegetarian, but it is karma-free. Karma-free food. That means when you eat our food, not only do you satisfy your belly, your stomach, and give vitality to the body, but you also satisfy the soul. And this is complete in the form of eating. In the slideshow, you will see other people eating other things. Some of the things that they're eating is so gross, it's hardly believable that they could eat such food. So I want you to watch this slideshow. Many of the pictures go from goodness, passion, to ignorance. And enjoy. Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Our real home is not this material world, but it is actually the spiritual world, where there we were enjoying our eternal loving relationship with Krishna. That home of Lord Krishna is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is full of palaces made of touchstone. The trees are called desire trees that supply any type of food on demand. There are cows called Sarabi cows, which supply unlimited amount of milk. Krishna is served there by everyone. Unfortunately for us, we once decided not to be Krishna's servant and turn our backs on him. And from that moment on, our desire was to be independent. Thus, we started our journey to this temporary material world. Down and down we came to this temporary material world.
Human body junction, all change.
Attention please, the train now standing at platform 1 is the express train for Blissville, calling at purity, mercy, austerity and truth. Passengers without any reservation are advised to board this train immediately. Thank you.
You'd like a ticket to Blissville, sir?
Reservations.
I'm afraid you can't get a return. It's one way only. How much? Well, the price is your sincere desire, sir. You can't afford it. Well, there is another train coming in a few moments, which will be calling at fleeting pleasure. but you'll have to get a return, and it does tend to work out quite expensive in the end. You'll take one. Okay. That'll be, well, just give everything, and you can owe the rest. Thank you. Here's your ticket. Oh, by the way, sir, the trains coming back to Human Body Junction are rather infrequent. You'll probably have to get a train to lower species and change quite a few times. You'll take the risk. Okay. Be seeing you.
Attention, please. Attention, please. The train now arriving on the mental platform is the slow night train from Wombville, calling at Boytown, Youthton, Fleeting Pleasure, Aldicham, Disease Chester, and terminating at Gravesend. We'd like to warn passengers that due to mechanical faults on the track, there may be severe delays and difficulties, but this is due to circumstances beyond our control. Thank you.
The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus, he meets with good and evil among various species. Senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as in a machine made of material energy. Just like two birds sitting in a tree, one is eating the fruits and the other is watching. the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself to be the doer of his activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Acting in the mode of goodness, one becomes purified. Work done in the mode of passion results in distress, and actions performed in the mode of ignorance result in foolishness. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of lust. Are so strong and impetuous that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. When there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop. The mind and the intelligence are the sitting places for this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. Yeah. living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and one falls down into the material pool. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, inertia, and darkness are manifested.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just passed through Old Agedom and Disease Chester. We are now approaching Gravesend. Last station, Gravesend. Tickets, please. Tickets. Can I see your ticket, please, sir? Thank you. This is out of date. You're invalid. Your ticket has expired. I'm afraid you have to get off, sir. No, you can't take your luggage with you. You have to get off. Now. Come on, sir. Don't struggle. You have to get off, sir, and leave everything behind. Off, sir. Now.
To show special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
Krishna explains to Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama.